You are listening to the Tuesday Eastern Conference edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. I'm Ross Levitan from Locked On Senators, and although Mike DiStefano is on vacation this week, it's still a Battle of Ontario edition of the show. David Morisuti joins me. We're going to go all World Juniors for today's episode, and that's because the preliminary round is over. We're on to the quarterfinals, and it's not just the teams who we have to preview, but individual players, NHL draft picks, and more. We're going to say who impressed us the most and anyone who maybe is losing some hype around their stock. Also, the available free agents remaining in the NHL might not be as deep as it once was, but there's still plenty of value to be had. Who are some of those players? All that coming up on today's edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. It's your team every day.
Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen on this Tuesday, August 16th. We are free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube, where the Locked On NHL channel is nearing 1,000 subscribers. It's a very important milestone for the show. We're excited to reach it. We have great hosts covering awesome teams all across the NHL, and you can find Locked On NHL and every other Locked On podcast on your favorite podcast catcher or, again, on YouTube, where a subscription goes a long way. You can find Locked On Senators on YouTube. That's where you can find me 5 days a week. And also my co-host today, David Morisuti from Locked On Leafs. We always have that Battle of Ontario juju. I see you're wearing the blue, David, but today we're all wearing red and white because we're two Canadian kids. And even though it's in the middle of summer, it's still the best time of year.
Oh, definitely. I know that it's taken a little getting used to watching summer hockey, World Junior hockey, that's for sure. But it's good to at least have something to talk about during the dog days of summer.
Well, and we finally have, maybe not. Maybe we'll have to wait till the semis. I was going to say a blowout-free day at the World Juniors because it seems like there's even more discrepancy. We knew that Canada and USA and to a lesser extent the Scandinavian countries, they could offset the loss of a couple of their bigger players staying prepped for the NHL. Just decide, you know what, this isn't for me. I have to get ready for bigger and better things. I've already had my chance at the World Juniors. Shane Wright, Jake Sanderson, Owen Power, the list goes on and on. But we knew they had the depth in terms of quantity to be able to address that. However, Slovakia is the example I always use, with Slavkovsky, Mishar, and Nemec all unavailable at this tournament. Next thing you know, a team that would be somewhat competitive loses 11-1 to Canada. However, tomorrow is the biggest day at the tournament. It's quarterfinal Wednesday, and the first game starts at 10:30 a.m. local time in Edmonton, 12 o'clock Eastern. I mean, I knew it was the World Juniors, but this seems like novice hockey starting at 10:30 in the morning.
Man, I don't know how many of these players are going to be used to that idea of, like, their routines are going to be totally messed up because they always think about your pregame meal, get your pregame nap, and then you're playing your game. Is it going to be kind of like you get the sleep, you get the food, and then you just got to go right into the play? It can throw off a lot of players. And even for fans to watch a game at noon, like we used to do it, you know, during the season, there would be the off chance of like a weekend game starting at noon. But like on a weekday, having a game start at noon, this is very uncharted territory for a lot of people.
That game will be Finland against Germany. Finland and Germany, 10:30 a.m. tomorrow in Alberta, 12 o'clock Eastern. That's followed by Sweden versus Latvia at 3:30 Eastern. Then Canada is taking on Switzerland at 7 Eastern. And USA versus Czechia finish the day at 10:30 Eastern. So basically, from noon to midnight on Wednesday, World Junior Hockey will be available to you. And there have been some awesome performances so far. Of course, as an Ottawa Senators host, I got to shout out Ridly Gregg for his battle level on that PK in the third period yesterday, and a two-time player of the game, and that's voted on by the own team's management, so it shows you kind of where he stands. But Mason McTavish, David, I think it's fair to say he's been maybe A1, AB with his line mate Connor Bedard. But to me, Mason McTavish, that's a man amongst boys, the Anaheim Ducks' third overall pick in 2021.
Yeah, and what's impressed me about Mason McTavish is this guy's played a lot of hockey for someone his age.
And everywhere.
Yeah.
Rattle off where he's played, because I know he went over to Switzerland, yeah. Played there, OHL, AHL, NHL,
the
and
Olympics.
Now Canada. Yeah.
Playing this is not the first time he's playing for Canada, right? He played at the Winter Olympics and then he also played in the Memorial Cup, right? As soon as his junior season was done, he still had one more tournament left at the Memorial Cup with Hamilton there. Like, he is, if you're an Anaheim Ducks fan, and you always get concerned when a younger player makes a transition to professional hockey and whether they can handle the grind of a full season.
Yeah. He even got traded in the OHL, David. So he played for two OHL teams.
I think he actually played more games, and that's kind of how it kind of worked out, where he got traded. And this guy is, it's incredible what he's done. And like, I feel like he's probably the more under the radar third overall pick in a long time. Like, not
he's
a lot
my people... number one prospect outside the NHL, like drafted prospect. I think he's unreal.
Yeah, he's proven that with every game you watch and play at the World Juniors. Like, as you said, a man among boys when you see how far and away he is from every other scorer at this tournament.
And he's doing every single way that you can imagine. He's up to 13 points in four games, David. 13 points in four games. 7 goals, 6 assists. So he's not even just relying on one avenue. Now, a couple of those assists, although last night it was a dirty little saucer pass cross ice, but Connor Bedard went in and did absolutely everything else to score the goal. I know Anaheim's probably on their way out of the rebuild. And especially if they keep John Gibson, they probably won't be in the running for a top five pick again. But if the lottery balls went that way, hockey fans would be the real winners if they got to see Mason McTavish and Connor Bedard at the next level together. Because, I mean, Zegras is going to be pretty fun with McTavish, no doubt. But, man, those two have unbelievable chemistry with Bedard and McTavish.
I know. I was thinking about that the other day. And, like, you see all the guys that they have drafted over the years and guys that are still coming through the system. You're almost like, man, just for one more year, see if you can just see if you can do it. You can get that one more top end pick. I mean, we've also seen what happens when teams try to tank for that pick, and Anaheim hasn't had the luck of getting that first overall pick either. But yeah, it would be a lot of fun if you would see Connor Bedard and Mason McTavish continue this run in the NHL.
Speaking of great runs, the Finnish run of power play success didn't run out against Canada, but certainly the Canadians were able to defend that 5-on-3, the major penalty in the third period. The Will Cully knee-on-knee got a major call for that. But all in all, the Canadians were the only team so far to be able to shut down that Finnish top line with Kamel Ratti and Maple Leafs prospect Roni Hirvonen. Like, those guys are just doing work on the power play and an even strength. So the two-way tie in scoring in this tournament is Kamel and Ratti. And those are two guys who inexplicably fell in the draft. Like, that's why you got to kind of take it with a grain of salt where the number is beside where these guys get picked. Kamel, who I had as 7 on my list, he goes 17th to the Nashville Predators. Perfect. He looks unbelievable. And Atu Ratti, like 2 years before the draft, he was in the conversation for first overall. He goes 52nd to the New York Islanders. That was the Islanders' first pick in the draft, because they gave Ottawa all their picks for Jean-Gabriel Pageau. But you look at what they were able to get value-wise. So I just wanted to give a shout-out there to the Finnish top line. And, hey, as a couple of Canadian boys, we can look past – can we look past Switzerland? I think it's probably – we can look past.
Oh, probably can't. Hey, well, we always hear about the pesky Swiss teams. They're not going to make it easy. They're a very disciplined team, but it's Canada. Like,
okay, so we can look at it. If the higher seed wins in each of the quarterfinal games that I brought up, we will see part two of Canada versus Finland. The Finns made it a bit of a game in the third. Leave aside that 5-minute major, the 5-on-3 penalty. They were still, and also leave aside the fact the puck hit the mesh and went out of play before Finland did score their goal. But compared that it was 4-1 after the first period. Finland did make it a bit of a game. So I think that would be a fun matchup here to go back if they do, if both teams advance to the semifinal.
Yeah, and you brought up that Finn's top line. It reminds me a lot of that, like, 2015. I think it was 2015 or 2016 when you had Puljujärvi, Laine, Aho. You know, they were kind of...
Those guys are a little bit bigger, though.
Yeah.
These guys, they're just... They're all smaller, but they just buzz around. Like, they're so strong on the forecheck. Like, Ravonen, I think, is like 5'9", but he plays a lot bigger than that.
Yeah, he's the typical Leafs draft prospect where they, you know, he comes in with the height requirement of under 6 feet.
Elite analytics, though, eh?
Yeah, well, of course. But yeah, like the Finns are, yeah, they're a team that have changed kind of their style over the last few years. They were known as that the bigger body, big shots, heavy shots. Now they're more so forechecking. Slick passes, like some of these passes. I don't know if you've seen some of these goals that they've been scoring in the tournament, like just unbelievable plays, making the extra pass sometimes, which can usually get you into trouble. But for Finland, it's been working out for them quite a bit. And yeah, out of all the games Canada played in the preliminary round, Finland was by far the more competitive one because Canada had to work for that win, right? We hadn't seen a lot of that from Canada in the first few games of the tournament.
100%. And what I turn to, and this is obviously TSN does a fantastic job covering this event in Canada each and every year. They pointed to the fact that the Finnish power play going into last night was clicking at 68%. It obviously came a little bit back down to earth, but how many teams have won the tournament out of the last six that led the power play in the tournament? Think about that. Well, I tell you a quick word from our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the number one protein bar. Tastes like a candy bar. I just got my most recent shipment in, and it was the Built Bar Puffs, David. These things are actually ridiculous. Cookie dough chunk. I was literally staring at the package after I ate it, trying to find out where they fooled me. I was like, there's no way I just ate a protein bar right now. There's no way. I literally felt, you could see the marshmallow stringing from this cookie dough chunk candy bar, but it's not just candy. It's protein. It's high protein and low in calories. It really is. So you should go check them out yourself at built.com. Built.com. What's great about Built Bars is that all their bars are made with collagen protein. So your body absorbs that more efficiently and provides a ton of health benefits. So eat something that tastes good and is good for you as well. Whether you need a snack for your workout, a late night treat, or just a quick bite. Built is the perfect protein bar, and they taste better than a candy bar. So ditch the calories, the fat, and the sugar, and grab yourself a Built bar, and it's a new promo code. New promo code alert. Promo code is LOCKEDON15, and it'll get 15% off your next order. Use LOCKEDON15 for 15% off your next order at Built.com. All right, you are listening to the Locked On NHL podcast. I'm Ross Levitan. You can find me over at Locked On Senators 5 days a week. We're excited for a few battles of Ontario this year. Today, I'm joined by David Morisuti. Always fun in the Locked Ontario group. We always get some good banter going there, but David's joining me to talk World Juniors today. And we've also got a little bit of NHL housekeeping to do because when I pulled up the list of available free agents, David, you would be surprised at some of the RFAs that are still unsigned. Are any close? I'll ask David that. But to get back to my point before we're talking World Juniors, how many of the last six gold medal winning teams do you think led the tournament in power play percentage?
I think Canada had done it when in one of the more recent gold medals. So I'm going to say Canada for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Finland has done... When Finland won gold, I feel like they had a really good power play that year as well. But yeah, I know that sometimes when you have the top power play in the tournament, it doesn't always necessarily lead to a gold medal. I remember Canada, when they lost to the States in the last round of the World Juniors, I'm pretty sure they had a top power play. And in that game, that power play did absolutely nothing against States. So I think Canada for sure had one of the top ones when they won gold. Can't remember which edition because, you know, Canada usually always wins gold.
No doubt. And the answer is 5 out of 6. And you're right. It was Canada that didn't. But 5 of the last 6 wow. teams to win the World Junior gold medal also led the tournament
which
in
team
power play. Great question. Great question. You have to ask my friends over at TSN. I just saw the stat last night.
It might have been the States.
Leave a comment if you do know the answer to that question. We are curious. But I think it was Finland that won it that year, and they had the sixth best power play. So it wasn't even close. It just kind of stuck out on a sore thumb on that graphic. But as it stands right now, Team Canada, 6 for 10 on the power play for 60%. Finland is at 56. Sweden is at 54. And the U.S. is at 41. So safe to say a good power play correlates to a berth as a higher seed in the quarterfinals. Which player outside of the stars that we already talked about, the McTavishes and the Bedards, and even the Finnish top line, is there another player that maybe was under the radar for you coming into this tournament who's really put themselves on the map?
Yeah, even on Canada, Brendan Ottman.
Huge hit of the tournament the other night.
Yeah, oh my God. I was like, is somebody going to go check on that guy? Like, just make sure he's okay. Yeah. Like, he stepped up in a big way. He didn't start the tournament on the top line. He kind of had to work himself back into the good graces of the Canadian coaching staff to get there. I thought he's looked comfortable. He looks like he belongs on that top line. And another one is Matthew Coronado from the U.S. Kind of sneaky out of nowhere. Like, the U.S. have a lot of top-ranked guys, right? You know, look at Logan Cooley, even least prospect Matthew Knies has been kind of highly touted.
Luke Hughes on the back end has been unreal.
Oh, yeah. I think, like, I'm going to say this. Looks like, especially with the size advantage, he has the potential to, I think, be better than his brother Quinn.
Yeah. I don't think that's crazy to say. I mean, he went three spots higher, although the Habs would probably like a redraft there, either to take Brady Tkachuk or Quinn Hughes there in 2018. But even when Hughes went seventh, or Quinn I'm talking about, was like, what? But Luke Hughes, you're almost like, you know, you want to play into that, like, oh, they just drafted him because it's his brother's the star on the team. Yeah. But no, that kid is nasty.
Yeah, it's that game against which one was it? There's so many. I actually wrote about him too. Just like his ability to dance on the blue line nonchalantly with the puck is effortless for him, right? And so, and I like that he has the size too. He's not a small defenseman like his brother. So the size, I think, is a good note for him to get, you know, if and when he does get to the NHL, that's not something he really has to worry too much about. But yeah, there's just so many players that have been playing, I think, above and beyond what I was expecting. He was one of them. And you look at even like an Olin Zellweger. Like,
I was going to circle him, man, because he's one of those guys. And again, we're talking about the Ducks. They got McTavish in the first round, and then they got Zellweger at the first or second pick of the second round that year. Stud.
Yeah, like this is as a team, this is where you find your niches, right? You can easily pick a guy in the top five. Mm-hmm. Easily get a good player there. Most
Montreal.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Habs. We're not too upset.
Team up on them here, Battle of Ontario. It's one of those, like, the, you know, you've got the Venn diagram, and it's like Leaf fans, Sens fans hating the Habs is the middle part.
Yep, for sure. But it's how you draft outside of that first round that a lot of teams fail at. Anaheim is not one of those teams. I always have to remind myself when Leafs fans will always bring up the Tyler Biggs trade and what that turned into for the Anaheim Ducks. Some guy named John Gibson was one of the picks there. Like, they know how to draft. That's why that team right now, they're in a bit of a rut because they've traded away a lot of their younger guys. But they're slowly creeping back up into that territory. And if I'm in the Pacific Division, wee bit concerned about what Anaheim's doing there.
Yeah, 100%. But if you're a hockey fan, you got to love it because they've got like that old school mentality too, like drafting Nathan Gauthier as well, who's playing for Team Canada, big, like pesky third line type. But then they also have like a Sasha Pastajov who's playing for the States right now. You know, the Zegras is like the very creative offensive players. And then on the back end, like their D prospect pool is as good as anybody else in the National Hockey League with Jamie Drysdale, Pavel Minchikov they got in the first round this year. And then even beyond that, the trade that sent Josh Manson, I'm forgetting the name, Anaheim Ducks Ducks cap, but who the defenseman they got back in that trade, I want to say, is a player as well. Drew Helison is the name I'm thinking of there, Olin Zellweger. And yeah, they, I mean, they've given up a lot. Like, I mean, at the NHL level, they're going to have to find who's going to replace Hampus Lindholm long-term, or sorry, short-term. Like, long-term, it's all good. And I guess they did add John Klingberg on that one-year deal. But yeah, Anaheim's super interesting team for me. And I mean, even Troy Terry's 24 years old. How long ago was it that he was dominating the World Juniors? So yeah. Anaheim's a team I have circled here as one that's going to be really interesting to watch. And well, we just named a few reasons why their fans can be excited at this World Juniors. Other fan bases that I think are most excited of this World Juniors, the Detroit Red Wings, I think, have 9 different prospects there. Right. And I was surprised that Seaman Edvinson even went, right? Because it's kind of that big three, especially in the Atlantic Division, of Owen Power with Buffalo, Jake Sanderson in Ottawa, and Seaman Edvinson in Detroit. It's like the three like top picks. They all went to college. Sorry, Edvinson came over from the SHL, but Power and Sanderson were like, no, we're going to get ready for NHL camp. Edvinson, I guess he wanted to put on the Trey Croner. I can't really blame him for wanting to represent his country. But if I'm Stevie Y, I'm almost like, he even got hurt in a pre-tournament game. He came back. It was just precaution. But like, I don't know. I think that was kind of a risky move for them. But obviously, if you're the fan base, you're enjoying that. Like Red Savage for the States, he's been throwing in a few greasy goals too. He was a mid to late round pick for them. And then the Minnesota Wild, probably the best drafting team in the NHL. They just, every team you look, they've got 2 or 3 top tier players on it. So Minnesota fans are probably pretty stoked there. Wallstead was the only reason why Sweden didn't get completely blown out by the US the other night.
Oh, 100%. He even thought he didn't have his best game.
That was crazy.
And I'm like, buddy, buddy, that's the United States, and you kept them in check. Like, you hold your head up high on that after an effort like that, even in a losing effort.
100%. So, yeah, lots of great stuff at the World Juniors this year, and we'll continue to follow along. The final is on Sunday, so next week on the Tuesday edition of Locked On NHL. We'll touch on that, but we've also got Gil Martin, who holds down the fort every Monday on this show, so he'll give you immediate reaction following the World Juniors. But again, it's the greatest time of the year, and whether it's at Christmas time, which kind of has that jingle to it, but you know what, even still, I've enjoyed this tournament because, you know, even just live hockey for me, it's been too long since the Stanley Cup final watching that, and even longer since April 30th when the Ottawa Senators 82 game season ended. Of course, the Leafs, as we know, get their 7 extra games each and every spring, David, but we'll get into that. I'm sure you have on Locked On Leafs. However, right here on Locked On NHL, coming up next, we're going to talk about which available free agents are remaining right now. Cause like we're in that point in the off season where the initial rise is all gone, but there's still some seriously good players to be had. So all that's coming up next right here on the Locked On NHL podcast. Welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast. I'm Ross Levitan. You can find me over at Locked On Senators, and David Morisuti is over at Locked On Leafs. It's the Battle of Ontario Tuesday edition. David, no Battle of Ontario for the first game of the season. I know that they play the first Saturday, but you like that? Who are they? Is it Habs Leafs then?
Habs Leafs, which I'm okay. Yeah, it's okay. I mean, I like a good Leafs Sens game on a Saturday night.
Well, we'll get it. We just have to ease into it. Sens start on Thursday. When do the Leafs start?
Leafs start on the Wednesday. They're always
Wednesday? Open. Yeah, for sure. Well, not this year, because you've got, I think, San Jose or somebody's going across the pond. So they're starting like 5 or 6 days early.
Right. I remember. Forgot about that.
I think it's Finland.
You might be right on that one. I do remember that. I do remember them saying that they do have an off bit of a weird start to their season. So yeah.
Yeah. It's Nashville, San Jose in Prague.
Wow. How cool would that
be? I'm trying to think, like, who on the Predators is Czech? Obviously, the Sharks have Tomas Hertl, but usually they pick two teams where, like, it's a star on each team, right? Like, they had Ottawa play Colorado in Sweden when it was Carlson and Landeskog.
Yeah, I'm just doing a quick look here. I don't see...
No, I don't see any.
I mean, unless you're considering David Rittich.
No, he left. He's with he signed with the Jets to be their backup.
Right. Okay.
So,
well, I don't know, man. I think they're going to hope that the Sharks can bring in the. Would have made more sense if they went to Finland, I will say.
Right.
right? You got the UC Saros,
or even Sweden with Philip Forsberg, and I mean Tomas Hertl will be a good draw. Like, and he's excelled internationally with Czechia before. They've also got Radim Cimek. There's a big homecoming.
Yeah, it's a little. Yeah, I guess. And I don't know if maybe this was planned beforehand. And
yeah.
To make up for it. But yeah.
Then there's also going to be one just while we're on this note, and then we'll get into free agents. But the Avalanche and Blue Jackets are going to play in Tampere in Finland on November 4th and 5th. Okay, so that one makes sense. Rantanen against Laine. You can sell tickets for that pretty easily. I mean, Columbus has the only Finnish general manager in the National Hockey League. So Kekalainen in himself will be a nice little draw there. Fun fact, only other Ottawa Senator to wear number 11 besides Daniel Alfredsson. So Kekalainen with a quick stint. But now he's GM, and yeah, I love what Kekalainen has done too. Like, talking World Juniors, Kent Johnson looks like he's going to be an absolute stud in the NHL too.
Yeah, I mean, they need someone to play with Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah, well, he has to give him his number. He got the number because he loved watching Johnny Gaudreau to play. So, always fun.
I think I'll give it up to... I'm sure Johnny Gaudreau will make a little nice courtesy to give to him to get that number. I think he'll... After that shiny deal he signed, I think he can afford to give him something for that.
Career earnings, $45.2 million, and now he's just starting a $68.25 million deal. Yeah, if I'm Kent Johnson, I'm hoping I won't be paying for dinner in a little while. These guys are still looking to get paid themselves. The NHL still has a couple top-tier free agents without a home. Or do they have a home? Nazem Kadri remains the number one available unrestricted free agent. Do you buy into the fact that he's already signed with the Islanders and Lou Lamoriello is, for some reason, and don't get me started on this, but Lou Lamoriello has just decided that he's not going to announce it?
Yeah, Lou's got the quirks like
that. Such a hero move.
Yeah, like I know Lou's like that old school guy, and sometimes you have to respect that, but
still mad at him for that Zaitsev contract.
The gift that just keeps on giving, right? I mean, the Islanders, especially because they got to make some, I think they have to make some room too, right? That's why some people are saying it's also being tucked away, because there's just so much tape that needs to be removed before you can even make that contract official. But yeah, it would be such a shoot thing, because I think Lamoriello signed Kadri to just a sweetheart deal at the time when he was with the Leafs. It'd only be funny if he would give him
overpay him in his 30s.
Okay, I know you maximize last time. We'll get you this time.
Yeah, 100%. I don't want to turn this into Locked On Senators, but Brent Wallace, formerly of TSN, he's got connections, and I do believe this. And this turns into a bit of a bigger conversation, because I'm sure it's not only the Senators that are in on this player. But this is a quote here on Twitter. This is going to be breaking moves, because you're going to hear this obviously later. But Brent Wallace just tweeted out, "I'm told the Senators remain in pursuit of Jacob Chychrun. They've been talks this week. Get this. The asking price is 2 first-round picks and a high-end prospect. But in this circumstances, Arizona would also take Zaitsev's contract."
If you're the Sens, that blue line needs a lot of work. And Chychrun, I remember when they were talking about this in season, I heard the 2 first round picks, but I had also heard a prospect and an NHL body.
Well, by definition, Zaitsev is an NHL body. Zaitsev is
an NHL body.
If you want Connor Bedard.
Exactly. Like, is this Arizona is just basically trying to get to the cap floor, have guys that can play, but not play well enough.
Zaitsev has a no move clause, though, so he would have to accept it. And I mean, you look at the competitiveness of the team and the fact you're playing in a 5,000 seat arena, but also wearing sandals to the rink and no state tax. So
I think he'll appreciate that to get, you know, some guys.
Interesting. But what do you think about the price on that? So that it's more of a bigger price. Conversation. He signed for 3 years at 4.6. That's where it's like, sheesh.
Yeah. Mike and I had discussed this as like a Leafs move, but the only thing is that he was a left shot, right? And you've got
he plays the right side though.
He does. And that's why I said he would be the ideal guy to go after, because he's mobile. He's got that shot. He's got that offensive presence, but he can also log a lot of minutes. And I think you know what? Like, so many times they say, oh, two first-round picks. But you know what you're getting out of Jacob Chikrin, right? Those two first-round picks might amount to nothing, depending on the team that he's going to as well, right? For the Senators, you're hoping that those two first-round picks are not going to be in the lottery, right?
They've been burned before, though, with the Bowen Byram pick and the exactly. Matthew Shane trade, fourth overall.
So that's where you have to have some sort of lottery protection on those picks if you're Ottawa, at least, just to give yourself a bit of a cushion there, even if it's outside of the top 10. I'm sure Arizona would want to get into the top 10 if they're going to get a first-round pick. But you're also looking at what's the market for Jacob Chikrin. I heard Columbus was a team that also was looking at him.
Yeah. I mean, they already got Gabranton. Do they really need him now?
I know. Like,
at almost the same cost, though. Taking my tongue out of my cheek, like almost the same cost.
I said that was a bit of a Johnny Gaudreau favor move.
Yeah.
For
he's also one of the most handsome players in the NHL, and he fights like he's probably the toughest player. Like,
yeah, those two kind of correlate and don't exactly mix in a way.
But I was joking to Pilsy. I was like, because Goody's a good Ottawa boy. I actually played summer hockey with him for a couple of summers. We were like 14 years old. But I was like, yep, that money's coming right into the Ottawa economy. Let's go off season, get the home going. Bring that four mil right over here, pal.
Oh, for sure. But yeah, I think Chikrin would be a perfect player for a team like Ottawa that needs – it's so hard to draft and develop defensemen and be willing to be patient for them as well. I mean, you guys have had some promising ones, like Eric Brännström. I feel like that's one that Ottawa felt it would be making more.
Does he count as a high-end prospect? Like, that probably not. But if he – like, I think he'll be interesting wherever he goes next.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of been typecasted in Ottawa. And DJ exactly. Smith, if you've ever seen DJ Smith play hockey back in the day – it's about as opposite of Eric Brännström as you could possibly get. And they also have two puck movers in Chabot and Sanderson coming up. Like, it just kind of seems like he's squeezed out there. Like, does he count as a prospect in this sense? 22 years old, so maybe, maybe not. But interesting that Jacob Chikrin, despite the cool down at right after the draft, that do you think – here, we'll end this conversation here. Will Jacob Chikrin play another game for the Arizona Coyotes?
I don't think so. I think Arizona is waiting for a team to answer their price. They'll wait. They have time. But I think the longer Arizona waits too, though, that return does diminish. And I don't see.
I think they get the same price though at this deadline. You still have two plus seasons.
Yeah.
I think they have to move him by next summer.
Yeah. I don't think you can let him go on to the final year of his deal. No way.
But that would even be 2 years left. That would even be two. Yeah, but even at that point, then you start being like, okay, now I can be patient if I'm the buyer and just be like, all right, well, you're just diminishing your own value. But with three seasons left at 4.6 for a guy who's going to play 22, 24 minutes a night, all situations, I think that you can definitely have the asking price, whatever you'd like. Speaking of asking prices, we talked about Nazem Kadri, but there's still some decent names. And to me, you have to go a little bit further down to like, some guys are kind of like hot and cold throughout the summer or throughout last season. And you wonder like which player you're going to get, like a Sonny Milano, like what kind of contract could he get? He wasn't even qualified. Right. And then you get into some depth pieces beyond that. I think one of the most interesting names that hasn't been signed just yet. And I'm curious of what he'll sign for, because again, a player that's typecasted and was making way too much money. Do you think PK Subban can still be a legitimate NHL defenseman?
I think he can take like the Kevin Shattenkirk type of role where he's a bit of a specialist.
Yeah.
Right? Get him on the power play, play him offensive zone. You're going to have to shelter him with especially defensively, because I don't think the skating is where it was beforehand. But I think the money wasn't right for him. Later in that contract, injuries didn't help either. He had a hard time staying healthy. And New Jersey didn't really – the fit just wasn't there, right? We saw how well he did when he was in Nashville, obviously in Montreal as well. But I think at this stage of his career, you got to have to – you have to basically admit to what he is, which is he's a guy that's got a decent shot. He's an offensive threat when he's on the ice. So you got to use that to your advantage. If you're going to sign him to a pretty reasonable cheap deal – you're signing him to do those sort of things and not to be that minute muncher defenseman that, you know, he was back in his Norris days.
Awesome. Well, plenty of time to get to get these contracts signed. And if not, maybe we'll see some PTOs. Like even Tyler Ennis came to Ottawa on a PTO and actually had a pretty good season. So you can actually get some players for cheap that maybe there's market inefficiencies. Maybe we'll get into that more next time. But that's all the time we have for today. For David Morisuti, I'm Ross Levitan. Again, you can follow Locked On Leafs anywhere you get your podcasts and on Twitter. Same at Sens Central and all of the great Locked On NHL shows. We want to thank you again for making Locked On NHL your first listen every single day. Local experts on the biggest stories. It's the Locked On difference. And please tell a friend. Be a friend. Tell a friend. Let's get this account to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, if you don't like the way my hair looks today or David's, then just let us know in the comments as well. But for David, I'm Ross. We'll chat next week on the Locked On NHL podcast. It's your team every day.